The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, wise words from Anton Meiberg. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, I was just trying to put myself in the shoes of this Ramat Gan couple who yesterday morning left their apartment for an hour, came back to the apartment and found a hole in the middle of their living room, like a deep hole, almost like a crater, that had suddenly appeared in the middle of their living room while they were out. A pit, and apparently this was caused by some nearby construction work on a new building and cellar. Apparently adjacent to the building where they live is some construction work, as a result of which this whole the middle of their living room just collapsed into a pit. And while I'm sure that, I certainly hope that other residents of Ramat Gan are not going to suffer this similar fate to this couple, but it was miraculous that they were just
that
out.
They were out, wow.
At that moment between 7 and 8 yesterday morning when that pit suddenly appeared in their living room. So two buildings have been evacuated alongside that construction site. In order to save other people the same fate. That was an interesting start to the morning for them. One of the listeners wrote in just to ask about the young IDF soldier that set himself alight. This was Itzik Saidan, who served in the Golani Infantry Brigade during the 2014 Operation Protective Edge. And he suffered post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of having served in that particular operation, and particularly as a result of having lost 7 of his fellow brigade soldiers within a 3-hour period of battle, and then spent 2.5 weeks after that in Shujaiya in the Gaza area, having lost all of these colleagues, came out of the army suffering from severe post-traumatic stress, feels that the army doesn't do enough to address the needs of soldiers who suffer from PTSD. And he then decided, in order to draw some more attention to this, I mean, he has done radio and TV interviews in the past, telling his story, explaining what he's been through, trying to get a little bit more attention devoted to this issue of post-traumatic stress disorder suffered by so many IDF soldiers who see battle and who have to endure some horrific events during the course of their service. And in the end, he was just so frustrated with what he considers to be a lack of response from the authorities that he literally set himself alight last week on Monday outside the Petah Tikva offices of the Rehabilitation Department for Disabled Soldiers. His situation continues to be serious. There is no detailed update about his condition, but obviously our heart has to go out to this young man and indeed to many others who suffer from post-traumatic stress and who feel that their cases are not being properly dealt with, adequately dealt with by the authorities to give them the support that they need, to give them all the facilities that they need to somehow cope with this enduring situation, because I'm not sure that it's something that you can really get over. I think you just need to be provided with the tools to allow you to somehow cope with it. But he is certainly not alone, and there are numerous IDF soldiers who suffer from one form of post-traumatic stress or another as a result of their service.
Terrible indeed. Prime Minister Netanyahu has decided to try and introduce a law that will see Israelis voting directly for a prime minister rather than voting for a party. Why is he pursuing this strategy?
Well, we did say yesterday that he was a fighter.
He's
coming out fighting. And this is really the evidence of his next step in terms of trying to secure himself position as prime minister going forward. He himself has acknowledged that the Likud and the current system will not be the Likud under the current system will not be the leading party to form the government, and he will not be prime minister under those circumstances, because he understood from the events of the last few days that he cannot form a government in the way that the system currently requires him to form a government. So that's his acknowledgement. And instead of trying to use the current system, he's decided to try to change it. And he feels that if he can get the support of Naftali Bennett and the Yamina Party, that he will be able to change the law to allow another round of elections. But this time, instead of voting for a party, as we do now under our proportional representation system that Israel has, that people should vote directly for Prime Minister. And I suppose that this is his way of saying that he feels that he could potentially command more support as an individual than he could get as...
It's so interesting that, because I would have thought it the other way around. And if the Likud is in a weak position, I believe it's because he hasn't created the environment around the party, but really has rather built it up around himself. That means to me that he might be living in a parallel universe.
Well, I think that the support of the Likud, people who've decided to vote for the Likud, have really decided to support the Likud because of him. Because he is such a strong leader, he appeals to a certain population group, to people who respect the leadership, the style of leadership that he brings. I think that the Likud as a party is really built around Netanyahu, and is certainly not the Likud that we knew of the days of Menachem Begin and others. It's certainly not the same party, and in fact, you know, many people would turn around and say it's not the Likud as we knew it at all, but it's really a Netanyahu party that's been tailored in order to support the leadership intentions of Prime Minister Netanyahu. Now, the idea of a direct election for Prime Minister has been used in three previous elections in Israel. It was used for the first time in 1996 when Prime Minister Netanyahu himself came up against Shimon Peres. He actually defeated Shimon Peres in that election by 50.5% to 49.5%, so it really wasn't a resounding victory. Interestingly, in that particular election for the Knesset, Shimon Peres's Labour Party managed to secure 34 seats, as opposed to the Likud party, which had an alliance at that stage with Gesher and Somet. They only secured 32 seats. So that was a classic situation where Prime Minister Netanyahu was elected to be the leader, to be the Prime Minister, but that his own party in the Knesset was not the largest party. If we scroll forward to the next election in 1999, Ehud Barak defeated Prime Minister Netanyahu in that direct election for Prime Minister. And Ehud Barak also managed to secure the most seats in parliament. And then scroll forward one more election to 2001, February 2001, where Arik Sharon of the Likud defeated quite easily Ehud Barak. And that was the last election that was held, direct election for prime minister, because then the law was changed in order to go back to our current system where you vote for a party rather than an individual. So I think that this is an interesting tactic and an interesting change of line, because I think the prime minister has understood that if he was to work within the current parameters of the system, that he's not going to be the prime minister moving forward. So he's trying something different. And I'm not sure that he's absolutely convinced that the change will necessarily help him, but I think he's convinced that without a change, he's not going to be prime minister. So he's willing to try almost anything in order to change the paradigm for him.
It's very, very interesting. I believe he's calling it wrong, but maybe that's just my view and my perception of this.
Because, well, he has nothing to lose, really, does he? Because I mean, he's resigned himself to the fact that he's not going to be prime minister under the current constellation. So he has little to lose by trying to change things, perhaps confusing people, and in so doing somehow sneak a victory, or maybe not, unsuccessful.
I mean, the way in which I perceive it, and maybe it's just the people that I've spoken to, is I've chatted to a number of very traditional, long-standing Likud supporters who would like Netanyahu to hand over the reins to somebody else.
Absolutely.
It is this group that would now rather vote for Likud, but not for him as Prime Minister. And I think that's where he might suffer a little bit of a disappointment.
I absolutely agree with you, and I know also a number of long-standing Likud supporters who have not been voting for the Likud and are very, very disappointed not to vote for the Likud because the Likud traditional values really appeal to them, and they don't see them right now because they feel that the Prime Minister has effectively hijacked the party to serve his own needs rather than to serve Likud's traditional values. And it would be very, very fascinating for me to see what would happen in the event that Likud had a new leader. I think there are many of those old traditional supporters who have decided to move away would decide then to return back to support Likud. And the people who have voted for the Likud in recent years because Prime Minister Netanyahu's leadership style has appealed to them will probably also continue to support the Likud because they don't really have an alternative home to go to anyway. They wouldn't be supporting Yair Lapid or Benny Gantz or probably not even Naftali Bennett under a new situation. I think that those traditional Likud supporters would probably continue to support Likud, and that Likud would have a whole bunch of people who would be returning home, people who've become disenchanted with the Likud as a result of the Prime Minister's leadership style.
Absolutely. We don't have a lot of time, but I do want to discuss the Israel middle school students have won a medal in the European Girls Maths Olympiad. Tell us about that.
So in fact, they won more than one medal. They won two medals in the Maths Olympiad that was held last week. This was a Maths Olympiad held for middle school students, and a gold medal, a silver medal were won by Israeli girls. The gold medalist was a ninth grader, Noga Friedman from Rehovot, and the silver medalist was Yara Shulman. She's a 10th grader, studies at a school in Herzliya. And they were joined by other members of the team, young ladies from Petach Tikva and another girl also from Herzliya. Apparently the competition had something like 200 competitors from 50-odd countries around the world, or around Europe in this particular case, because it was obviously a European competition. It was held remotely, so it wasn't held in person. The thing that interested me as much as anything else about the story is that, in fact, the country that won the overall first place was Georgia. And I would never have imagined that a country like Georgia would take first place in the Maths Olympiad. The Israeli team in the end placed ninth overall out of the 54 countries that were competing. So a very credible performance. But obviously the medalists, the gold and the silver medalists, were the heroes of the day. They were coached by a team from the Weizmann Institute, headed by coaches who are chairman of the mathematics department at Weizmann. This is a great team effort, not only by the girls from the individual schools, but of course by the team that was coaching them from Weizmann.
Absolutely incredible. Israel continuing to shine in this regard. And in less than a minute, Prime Minister Netanyahu's corruption trial has been paused for 2 weeks. Why the pause?
Well, the pause is really to allow the defense to get their cross-examination together. The first witness has completed his initial testimony to the trial, to the judges. It's taken about 2 weeks for him to give all of his evidence to the court. And the defense then requested a little bit of a break to allow them to get their cross-examination together. The witness involved is the former Walla CEO, Ilan Yeshua. Some very, very fascinating information coming out from his testimony. And the next stage of the trial will take place in another couple of weeks once they've had their chance to get their cross-examination together.
All right, and certainly we'll follow that story. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM.